Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I used to work as an attorney in Congress, and I was surprised by all the information that we had that was never conveyed to the American public. Sometimes the mainstream media would give sound bites, sometimes they wouldn't, but they'd never give the in-depth analysis that I felt needed to be given, that those folks working in Congress knew, that I knew, and that the American people just didn't know, and that's why I came on the air to give you the inside scoop. The topic today is George Tenet. By now, all of you have heard about his resignation yesterday. The director of the CIA will resign at the end of this month. And I want to give the inside scoop today on George Tenet. I want to devote the entire hour to the CIA, to intelligence failures, and to specifically the personality of George Tenet, because for all his failures, and we're going to go through a big, long list. Let's just give a few here. He claimed that the evidence that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction was a slam dunk. He allowed a national intelligence estimate that was wildly inaccurate, talking about Iraq's weapons. He, even before 9/11, knew about Zakarias Moussaoui, the 20th hijacker, the guy who wanted to fly planes but didn't want to land them. The 20th hijacker, he knew about the Colleen Rowley memo talking about him, and he met with the president every day, but apparently didn't tell the president. I don't believe it, and we'll get to that soon enough. But at least George Tenet knew enough about the plot to fly planes into American buildings on September 11th, that in Bob Woodward's book, and by the way, this is not talked about very much outside of my program, early on in the book, it says that George Tenet was sitting there having breakfast with Senator Boren of Oklahoma at the time of the 9/11 attacks, and the guys came rushing up to him, said, hey, you know, the World Trade Center's been attacked, a plane's flown into it, and within seconds, at least according to Bob Woodward, and it hasn't been denied by George Tenet, within seconds, George Tenet said, oh, I bet it was that guy, Zakarias Moussaoui. Well, if it was that much at the top of his brain, maybe he should have been at the top of his brain before September 11th, or maybe he did tell Bush, and Bush did nothing about it. I want to talk this whole hour. I mean, there's so many things to talk about, whether it's you know, Saddam Hussein getting weapons, whether it's a whole bunch of other things that you may not know about George Tenet. I want to talk about where his failures come from, because George Tenet is not a right-wing ideologue like Don Rumsfeld, like, you know, Dick Cheney. He's not. I mean, let's be clear. What then were his faults? How did he allow our intelligence to fail so much? After all, George Tenet was hired by Bill Clinton, and he served both Democrats and Republicans. We're going to talk in detail about it. Let me give the conclusion first. Let me give you the bottom line, because I also want to give you a chance to call in and ask questions or agree or disagree. The bottom line is this. George Tenet was too eager to please. That's going to be my theme throughout the next hour. George Tenet was too eager to please. He was willing to sacrifice truth, honesty, intelligence principles in order to please his boss, whether it be Clinton or Bush. When George Bush pushed him and pushed him and pushed him to find intelligence, he found stuff that just wasn't there. And he manufactured things, and he cherry-picked and put the best possible light on things because he knew that's what his boss wanted. So in essence, the failures of George Tenet are precisely the failures of those above him. They're the failures of George Bush. They're the failures of Dick Cheney. George Tenet too much reflected his bosses. And that's why I argue he failed as a CIA director. And I'm going to get into that this hour. I also want to get into your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. I have to crow a little bit, and that this was the guy I most suggested should be fired. Those of you that listen to my show, You're Fired, where we had a Donald Trump-like game show back on May 13th, know that I was the only person, all you callers called in, I was the only person to pick George Tenet, because I felt that both that his failures were unique and that he actually was a symbol of all the intelligence that had gone wrong. And if you go to www.radioinsidescoop.com and you check out my website, and I hope you go there often, folks, because there's a blog there. There's all kinds of ways that you can comment, not just by commenting to me on the air, but you can comment to each other and really begin a conversation. But if you go to my blog and go back to the May 13th show, you will see I ended it with these famous words, George Tenet, you're fired. That's my best Donald Trump expression. But, you know, I wasn't the only guy. Just 2 weeks later, May 28th, I played in full Al Gore's speech on Iraq, which I have argued is really the best speech anyone has given on Iraq ever. And certainly Al Gore's best speech, a powerful speech. It's unedited. Again, another great reason to go to my website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Listen to Gore's speech in full, unedited. It's a powerful speech. But in that speech, Al Gore also argued that George Tenet needed to leave. And now, of course, he's left. And then he says he's left for personal reasons. I don't know that anyone in Washington really believes that, except for some credulous Republicans. And George Bush was searching for something to praise about Tenet. Bush says he didn't push Tenet out, and indeed he wanted to praise Tenet. But somehow I thought the best characterization of George Bush and his praise of George Tenet was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. So I want to play a little bit about that. The voices you hear, of course, are those of George Bush and Jon Stewart. Here is the announcement of George Tenet's resignation, at least according to The Daily Show. Well, let's get it up here. Come on, folks. Technical problems. Try again. Not working, and I'm not sure why. All right. We're going to bring that to you a little bit later. I do very much want you to hear The Daily Show and Jon Stewart. I think, like I said, I think that sometimes Jon Stewart, no one does it better than he does. I want you to hear how it is that he expressed that resignation. Let's try it one more time, and if it doesn't work, we'll do it after the commercial break. Ah, not working. All right, we'll do that later. Let's go on and let's talk about George Tenet. And let's also take your calls at 877-57-SCOOP. I want to give you the history of this guy because, again, it's very interesting to see where he went wrong. George Tenet is, like I said, someone originally appointed by Bill Clinton. Let's just talk about one specific example that I think typifies everything that went wrong with George Tenet. And then I want to give you the history here and also answer your questions. And again, if you disagree with me, bring it on. That's what this show is all about. 877-577-2667, 877-57-SCOOP. Do you remember the day when they found those tractor trailers? George Bush said that those tractor trailers were evidence of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program. He said, quote, "For those who say we haven't found the banned manufacturing devices or banned weapons, they're wrong. We found them." Couldn't be any more sure of himself. Of course, I guess that's typical of George Bush. But he was sure that he found it, and he relied on CIA's announcement that, in fact, and this is according to the CIA, quote, "Coalition forces have uncovered the strongest evidence to date that Iraq was hiding a biological warfare program." The problem is that they announced it as soon as they found the trailers. Then later on, the State Department's intelligence arm said that, well, that's not true. Then the Pentagon's intelligence arm said, well, actually, the trailers were more used for hydrogen, not bioweapons. And then you had Washington think tanks that reached the same conclusion. And then you had Iraqi arms inspectors that reached the same conclusion. And then you had Iraqi nuclear scientists explaining precisely how their design couldn't fit into those trailers. And then you had experts from around the world say, it can't be the trailers. And let me give you a little detail, because this is one of those issues that Republicans throw around as, well, there could have been weapons in those trailers. You know, maybe those trailers really have weapons of mass destruction. Let's just again, it's technical, but hang on for a bit. The trailers had canvas exteriors, which would have resulted in downwind contamination for biological agents. And yet there was no evidence of these agents. They lacked equipment for steam sterilization. The pipes in the trailer had threaded fittings or bolted flanges, which would basically have allowed biological weapons to seep through. The answer is, according to the Federation of American Scientists, according to everyone who analyzed it, there is no way that those trailers were used for biological weapons production. And yet the CIA announced it. Now, why did they announce something so quickly when within days the entire international community and even people in our own State Department, people in our own Pentagon, could show George Tenet that, oops, you know, that can't be true? And the answer is, again, and this is the theme this hour, every single time George Tenet could, he tried to please his bosses rather than trying to get honest intelligence. So let's go through the history of George Tenet. Because in many ways, he was very much a well-liked guy. He's a son of Greek immigrants. He's from New York City. He was very much known as a back-slapping kind of guy. In fact, that's one of the things I think that George Bush most liked about him. He was a really friendly guy. He's the kind of guy that George Bush doesn't like these nerds, these people that claim to know a lot of information. No, he likes people who can be really, really charming and fun. And, you know, Tenet used to hang a cigar outside his mouth, and he was well-liked at the CIA. Tenet has worked for Republican Senator John Hines. He worked for Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy. So he's worked both sides of the aisle. And in fact, he became famous in the Reagan administration when he drafted a position on Reagan's reduction of medium-range missiles that was acceptable to both Republicans and Democrats. So I hope you see the theme here. As a moderator, as someone to go in between for bipartisan positions, I think he's quite good at that. I mean, this is a guy who's anxious to please everyone, and like I said, I think he would have been a great arbitrator, a great moderator, and that's actually how he came to people's attention. And then in the Clinton years, Clinton tried to fill his CIA post after John Deutsch left with Anthony Lake, really someone who had very much been the source of Clinton's foreign policy. But the Republican Congress refused to confirm Lake. It's interesting. I don't know of a single Bush administration official that the Democrats have refused to confirm. Maybe a caller will let me know. I can think of several judges, but we even confirmed, you know, Ted Olson, who was you know, instrumental in the Bush v. Gore decision, the most anti-democratic decision in American history. But anyway, the Republicans were harsher on Clinton than the Democrats were on Bush, and so they wouldn't allow Anthony Lake, Clinton's guy, to be there. So George Tenet was, again, the compromise. He was a guy acceptable to both Republicans and Democrats. And by all accounts, like I said, he was a very friendly guy. He talked to the lower-level people, and he really was a good guy in terms of his personality. Now, let's fast forward to 1998. We have the Al-Qaeda bombing of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. And Bill Clinton is looking a way to get back at Al-Qaeda. So Bill Clinton decides he wants to hit them in two places. One, in Afghanistan, because he knows that's where they're training. He wants to hit them there. And he also wants to hit them in Sudan. Sudan was a former home to Al-Qaeda. And Sudan is really a horrible country. I mean, look at the fact that they're committing genocide today. The Arab leaders of Sudan are killing the black population of Sudan, Muslims and Christians, by the way. It's not even a religious war. It's really a racist war. They're killing them today. We're doing nothing about it. George Bush considers Iraq more important than genocide. But Sudan's an awful place, and Bill Clinton wanted to hit them, and they were helping Al-Qaeda. And no problem with that. The problem was Bill Clinton asked Tenet to give him targets. And Tenet gave him a great target in Afghanistan. In fact, we now know today that Bill Clinton missed killing Osama bin Laden by a matter of a few hours. But he also gave him a target in Sudan, a target that he told Bill Clinton was a chemical weapons factory that was making a deadly nerve gas, VX. And actually, if you look at the intelligence at that time, it wasn't clear that that's exactly what it was. It was Sudan's largest chemical plant, pharmaceutical plant, and it wasn't clear that that's exactly what they were doing. But Tenet didn't say to the White House, Clinton, hey, you know, this may or may not be VX gas. No. According to two sources, and this is from a New Republic article on it, Tenet banged his fist on the table and argued that it was the right target. And, of course, Clinton did hit that target. And most people today believe that, in fact, it was not a chemical weapons plant. Again, that's not to say Sudan's a good country. It's to say that we may have hit the wrong target. In fact, later on, Tenet tried in a Senate meeting to justify what he'd done and argued that the pharmaceutical company was owned by a member of Al-Qaeda. But when our U.S. Treasury froze this Saudi Arabian who Tenet said owned the company, a guy by the name of Idris. Idris took him to court and made him produce the evidence. We couldn't produce the evidence, so we had to let it go. Okay? So again, you're getting the history here. And let me give you another example, and then following the break, we'll move right into the current administration and the mistakes on Iraq. The Republicans really wanted the missile defense system in the 90s. That was their big thing. They still want it, but they really argued they wanted it. But the problem was, before Tenet even came into office at the CIA, there was a National Intelligence Estimate, an NIE, which is supposed to be the gold standard of CIA estimates. And it said in 1995 that there's no state that could harm the United States with missiles in the next 15 years, from 95 to 2010. Yes, some had developed ballistic missiles, but they couldn't hit the United States. The problem was is that Don Rumsfeld, former defense secretary at that time, Don Rumsfeld, and Paul Wolfowitz didn't like that. They wanted to help the Republicans in Congress show that actually there was a danger. So they pushed and they pushed and they pushed and they pushed Tenet to revise the NIE. And the answer is he rolled. They rolled him. They pushed him, they pushed him, and finally a Tenet got together and took what little evidence they had. They showed that Korea had a missile, not a missile that could hit the U.S., but had a missile, that Iran had a missile. And everyone agreed that the drafting process was overtly political. In fact, a major person that caused all this was Admiral Walpole. And Walpole made very sure that, like, if they didn't come up with something he didn't like, it was don't bring me no bad news. It was no, go ahead, change your estimate, go back, give me what I want, which is showing a danger to the United States. So the Republicans learned early on, if they applied enough pressure, they could roll George Tenet. They could make him do what they wanted to do. And as I say, it was George Tenet's eagerness to please that I think led to the worst intelligence failures in American history. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about September 11th. I want to talk about Iraq. I want to play the John Stewart piece, and I want to get your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you have a question, you want to talk about George Tenet, if you disagree with everything I say, bring it on. That's what this show is all about. 877-57-SCOOP, or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. More on George Tenet, why he failed the way he did, right after this break.
This year, and naturally, corporate CEOs want to be there and be part of the globe-hopping celebrity scene that swirls around such sporting galas. But gosh darn it, officials are warning that terrorists might make the Olympics a target. Of course, the government is providing a massive security force, including 40,000 police, 7,000 military troops, NATO jets, spy planes, and submarines. But the super wealthy swells of corporatedom are not about to accept the same security level that commoners get. So how can they feel extra special safe? Where there's money, there's always a way. And corporations are resolving their CEO's Olympic security dilemma by buying luxurious protection packages for them. Top honchos of such outfits as American Express, Citigroup, and McDonald's will stay not in swank hotels, but in specially outfitted yachts to be anchored in the harbor near Athens. Thus, if there's a terrorist attack on the Olympic site, the yachts can flee with their elite passengers. Citigroup, for example, has leased a luxury ship that includes everything from armed guards to a yoga studio for its Olympic-bound executives. At $150,000, it's a pricey deal. That's $150,000 a day. And that doesn't even include fuel for the yacht or food and drink. Another corporate package provides a yacht and onboard security, plus helicopters, bodyguards, armor-plated limousines, and a motorcycle escort to get the special ones to and from the Olympic contests. Guess who gets to subsidize this high-life security cocoon for CEOs? You and me. The corporations will deduct the yacht packages from their income taxes, claiming them to be a necessary cost of doing business. This is Jim Hightower saying, these guys get the gold medal for Olympic-level excess.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And I think part of what the government does not want you to know is the background of George Tenet, the CIA director that just resigned today, the guy that really has been a little too anxious to please throughout his career, and I think that explains a lot of his problems. We finally now have gotten the audio I wanted from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And what you're hearing is George Bush's announcement of the resignation of George Tenet and Jon Stewart's comments as well. So here we go.
Today, President Bush stood on the lawn of the White House and made this announcement.
Today, George Tenet, the director of the CIA, submitted a letter of resignation.
Major news, the country's number one intelligence official stepping down. And just when everything was going so well. But Bush was quick to offer a few of the spontaneous flowing words of praise about the outgoing director.
George Tenet is the...
Convenient fall guy. Liability to our intelligence operation.
Is the kind of public service you like, servant you like to work with.
I was going to say that. That was my second thing. That was on the tip of my tongue there.
He has been a...
Albatross around the neck of your administration. An albatross.
Strong and able leader at the agency. He's been a...
A round too long. He's been a round too long. He's been... No, wait. That's not it.
He's been a strong leader in the war on terror.
No, that's not it. It's right here. I don't know what it is. Then again, you said Rumsfeld was superb, so. You know, imagine how much trouble we'd be in if we didn't have such excellent, excellent leadership.
Actually, George Bush later on did say that George Tenet was superb. Again, as Jon Stewart points out, he also called Don Rumsfeld superb, which, of course, brings to mind the all-important question that maybe George Bush doesn't know what the word superb means. maybe he needs to learn. But if you want to call in, by the way, and comment on anything I'm saying or ask me questions on my research here on George Tenet, feel free to do so. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. But sometimes I think it's important just to give the background so people know who is this guy, how he got in trouble, and why he led to one of the most colossal intelligence failures of all time. So let's go back to our story. So Clinton's out of office, and George Bush comes into power. And, Tenet then moves to ingratiate himself with the Bushes. He names the CIA building after George H.W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, George Walker Bush's father. And like I said, George Bush Jr. kind of likes him. He's got a cigar in the mouth. He makes jokes. He pounds people on the backs. He's the kind of guy George Bush can trust, kind of like Ahmed Chalabi. You see, if you're friendly enough to George Bush, it doesn't matter whether you have intelligence. It doesn't matter whether you're any good or you're competent. Just be friendly, and George Bush will like you. Again, that's what you get when you have a 10-year-old president of the United States. But the CIA, though, and I think it's fair that Tenet, unless pushed, is not a right-wing ideologue, as I said. I don't think he's an evil guy. But unless pushed, he tends to give accurate information. So, for example, in his report in the winter of 2002, right after the September 11th attacks. Oh, let me go before September 11th, actually. Let me talk before then. Before September 11th attacks, we had Colleen Rowley. Remember her? She's the FBI agent who sent what's called the Phoenix Memo. She's the one who discovered Zakarias Moussaoui, the French-born guy in the United States that was trying to join flight schools. He went to a number of flight schools in Florida, didn't want to take off the plane or land the plane, just want to learn how to steer the plane. That roused the suspicion of local FBI officials, and Colleen Rowley wrote a letter to her superiors to let them know, hey, this guy looks suspicious. Her superiors said, don't worry about it. Don't do anything about it. They wouldn't even get a warrant to go after the guy. And she got upset. She said, you know, this guy could be really dangerous. She reported it to the very top of the FBI. And the top of the FBI said, you know, Ms. Rowley, please go about your business and don't bother us with this kind of stuff. But apparently it did reach CIA Director George Tenet. And this is something that has not been talked about anywhere that I'm aware of except on the Inside Scoop. And yet, my source for it is really quite simple. I have many sources on the Hill. I have many people, Republicans, Democrats, administration officials, even some in the intelligence community who tell me stuff. This didn't come from any of them. I'll admit my source right away. It's Bob Woodward in his first book, Bush at War, and it's gotten surprisingly little attention that George Tenet, on the day of September 11th, when we were attacked, moments after he heard that planes flew in the World Trade Center, according to Woodward, George Tenet jumped up and said, I'll bet it's that guy trying to fly planes into buildings. So this was at the top of Tenet's mind, according to Bob Woodward, and this has never been disputed by anybody, by the way. George Tenet has never disputed it. The administration has never disputed it. According to Bob Woodward, and there's a witness too, by the way, Senator Boren of Oklahoma, according to Bob Woodward, the moment George Tenet heard about the attacks, he jumped up, he alluded to the Zakarias Moussaoui, he said, I think it's that Arab guy that was trying to fly planes into buildings. He had it at the top of his mind. Now, it's important to remember that George Tenet met with George Bush every single day. Bill Clinton, frankly, didn't think it was important to meet with his CIA director every single day, and he's been attacked by Republicans for it. Oh, Bill Clinton didn't take the threat seriously. He didn't meet with Tenet every single day. Well, Bush did meet with Tenet every single day, and apparently we are to believe that Tenet didn't tell Bush about Zakarias Moussaoui. Now, he may have not. It's not clear whether he did or not. No one seems to have asked him that very direct question. Tenet didn't finger the president. I think that's one of the reasons why he stuck around so long, because he didn't write tell-all books like Richard Clark, former counterterrorism czar, like Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary, like John Dulio, former faith-based initiative director under Bush. All these insiders showed that the Bush administration had no idea what was going on, that they were both incompetent and evil. John DiIulio, in fact, called them the Mayberry Machiavellis, which is a nice little way of bringing both their incompetence and their evil together. But Tenet was loyal. Tenet didn't say anything. But you have to ask yourself, if Tenet knew about Mousavi, and he clearly did. I mean, no one disputes that he knew about Mousavi, so it's not even if. Since Tenet knew about Mousavi, there's only two possibilities. Either he told Bush about it, or he didn't. Now, if he didn't tell Bush about it, don't you think he would have been fired a year ago? I mean, John Stewart was surprised he hadn't been fired by now. I was surprised. Al Gore was surprised. Don't you think he would have told Bush? He met with him every single day for an hour at these daily briefings. It was at the top of his mind as soon as September 11th happened, and we are to believe he didn't tell Bush? Well, if he didn't tell Bush, I would think he'd be out on his ear immediately. I think he did tell Bush, and that's why I think he wasn't fired, because, well, he had the goods on Bush. I don't mean formal blackmail. I mean he knew that he had warned Bush about the guy whose colleagues caused September 11th, and Bush did nothing about it, and that's why I think he stayed so long. And I think that's a very important point that really hasn't been brought out. I also want to move on, and I want to talk about what Tenet did with Iraq. But before I do that, I want to get to some of your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
This is Ed from New York.
Hey, Ed from New York. What's your comment or question?
My thought is twofold. One, I think that George Tenet got what I call the Washington disease. People who are in a position of power in Washington will do anything and everything they can to stay in a position of power.
Yep.
And that meant that George Tenet did everything he could to cover for the President Bush, and by covering for President Bush or sucking up to President Bush, he ended up trying to keep his job, and he should have been kicked out long ago.
Well, I think that's right. I think that I should say that not everyone has this Washington disease. I mean, we can go back to the Watergate era. A person, in fact, just died this week. Archibald Cox was the Attorney General under Richard Nixon, and Richard Nixon ordered him to fire the Watergate prosecutor, and Archibald Cox said no. He said, you have to fire me. I'm not going to fire this Watergate prosecutor.
There are too few Archibald Coxes left in government. And
that may well be true. What happened, that, of course, was called the Saturday Night Massacre, and a Saturday night basically after Archibald Cox refused, and then his deputy refused, and eventually Bork, who later became Judge Bork, was the guy who actually fired the Watergate prosecutor. But no, you're right. I think there are a lot of people in Washington that just try to keep their jobs. And that's, in fact, the argument I'm trying to build the evidence for today, that Tenet really was not so much an ideologue as someone that just wanted to keep his job.
Well, there's another thing, too. You know, when the 9/11 Commission was coming around, they were talking about the fact that Condoleezza Rice got certain information when President Bush had his month-long vacation in Texas.
Right.
And when
that the President Daily Briefing in August of 2001.
And that's put on a one-page little piece of paper because the president can't read two pages.
Bin Laden determined to strike the United States was the name of the briefing.
All right. And she was asked about that when the 9/11 Commission talked about it to her. And I think you're right that George Tenet probably told a little bit more than was on that little sheet of paper. And I think, Mark, you hit it on the head when you said George Tenet had something on George Bush. And until the pressure got real tough in this current election campaign, I think George Tenet would have stayed and kept his job.
Yeah, I think Bush really couldn't fire him, and that's why he finally decided he had to resign. And we're going to talk a little bit further in the hour about the war in Iraq, because Tenet has done an amazing thing. He has failed twice in two of the most controversial intelligence things of our time, both on September 11th, and I'm about to get to the war in Iraq. So it's an amazing double failure. But thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate it. Let me go to you, caller. You're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name? Where are you from?
Rod from New York City.
Hey, Rod from New York City. What's your comment or question?
I'm just wondering, I'm hoping, in fact, we get two books published before the November elections and enough time for people to read them and to discuss them. That would be, of course, George Tenet's book.
You think he's going to write one?
I'm praying. I mean, they talk about a guy that must have the skeletons, like you.
You know, but I part of my, and I'm, again, I'm going to finish the evidence. I feel like I'm developing a court case here, but part of my thesis is that this is a guy who was too loyal. You know, all the people that are criticized for being too disloyal, Paul O'Neill, Richard Clark. My thesis, my argument, and this is what I'm trying to build the evidence up for, is this is a guy who's just the opposite, that he was too loyal. And so I actually think he's the least likely to give a tell-all, at least while this president is in office. I don't think, unless he's attacked pretty strongly by the administration, and that's why I think the administration has to be careful. You heard George Bush and John Stewart's the thing, you know. He's a fine public service. He's a good man. He's, you know, Bush has to watch what he has to say because Tenet really does have the goods on him. Like you, would love to see a book, but I don't think it's going to happen. What's the other book you want to see?
That would be yours.
Oh, I don't know that I've been around long enough to write a really good tell-all book.
Sure, you could put the poem in there.
Well,
you got just a lot of material. I tell you, I listen every day, and I'm so aligned with you. It's scary.
Well, I appreciate that, Rod. I'll tell you what you can do, and I know, I think you've contributed to my blog, which I appreciate. By the way, anytime you want to write something down that not just I can see, but everyone in our community, and we do have a fairly good community now. It's not just people in the United States, but I've been getting listeners from Taiwan, from Canada, England, France, Netherlands, Germany, Sweden, even, is if you write something on the blog, then it's a way for all of you to share with each other. And it really is growing. And really the best thing you can do is to tell everyone you know to listen into my show, and more people will take notice of it. But, hey, Rod, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the show.
Sure. You know, we do different kinds of shows. Yesterday was more of a call-in show. You know, we talked about Bill Cosby. We talked about getting out of poverty. And I always welcome your calls at 877-57-SCOOP. But today, I admit, I'm mostly doing most of the talking. Hey, it happens. Because I want to develop my thesis that George Tenet was a little too eager to please. And when I come back, I want to talk about the war in Iraq. I want to talk about weapons of mass destruction. I want to talk about the national intelligence estimate. You may have heard all these terms being thrown around a lot. Bush saying, well, you know, we can't be blamed. George Tenet said it was a slam dunk. We can't be blamed. It was in the national intelligence estimate. I never would have lied about Saddam Hussein getting weapons in Africa if the CIA hadn't allowed me to lie. Well, when we come back, I want to give you the inside scoop on these lies, because I think the evidence will show that it wasn't Tenet deceiving the president so much as the president forcing Tenet to deceive him. Actually, the president, the vice president were deceiving themselves and using Tenet as an instrument. And I'll give you the proof when we come back.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Tens of thousands of soldiers in the United States Army took one step away from being volunteers and another toward conscription yesterday. In a large expansion of what it calls its Stop Loss program, the Army will now force soldiers who are deployed overseas or are part of a unit scheduled to deploy to Afghanistan or Iraq within the next 3 months to remain in the military until their unit finishes its mission. Even though some troops may finish their tours of duty before a deployment ends, they will not be allowed to leave.
The Democrats are holding their presidential nomination convention in Boston this year, and what started out as a party is turning into a headache. With 55 days left, convention organizers are still $1.7 million short of projected costs, which means that city taxpayers will be forced to pick up a $64 million tab under the terms of the host city's contract. In addition, several public sector unions are working without labor contracts, including the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, which is planning to picket outside the convention and is asking other union members not to cross their line. That causes problems for construction of the Fleet Center set to begin next week, where the Democratic National Convention is set to take place. The construction workers won't sign a no-strike contract until issues with other city unions are resolved.
There's been no move by federal authorities to act on information turned over by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters in-house anti-corruption task force, whose members resigned in late April in protest of what the former G-men called interference from Teamsters headquarters in Washington, D.C. into a probe involving union corruption in Chicago. However, the FBI did visit a home in Detroit last week and took floorboards out of a room there. They're hunting for DNA samples of former Teamsters leader Jimmy Hoffa. That probe was sparked by the recent publication of a tell-all book by a former Teamster who claims to have executed Hoffa in the home on orders from the mob in 1975.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Who says crime doesn't pay? Few corporate criminals actually serve any jail time, and now those who do have a way to cash in on the experience. A lecture circuit agency called Pros and Cons teams up audiences with white-collar criminals who receive up to $3,000 per speech. Walt Pablo, who stole more than $6 million from MCI, expects to earn up to $200,000 this year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, giving you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And today we're giving the inside scoop on George Tenet, someone I've long called for his resignation. And, of course, he finally did resign just yesterday. And we're talking about his failures and where they came from. And I argue this hour that he's unlike Don Rumsfeld or Vice President Cheney. He's not a right-wing ideologue. His failures did not come from this desire to remake the world in his image. I actually don't think that's true. I think his failures came from an overwhelming desire to please his bosses. And we've talked about September 11th. We're going to move on and talk about Iraq. If you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. I always welcome your calls. 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can email me by sending an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And I've got a couple comments here I want to read. They're from two of my regular conservative listeners. And I got to tell you, I welcome those that disagree with me. I think in that way I'm very different from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. I guess I'm similar in that we both welcome conservative listeners, but I welcome conservatives and liberals. They don't like people who disagree. I know because I've called into their shows from time to time, and they usually don't even let me get on air. But I like conservatives because they keep me honest, and I believe that the debate should be had. Obviously, I don't agree with them. But let me read a couple comments that I got on my email. First, I got one from Ben. Ben is responding, I think, to Rod's comment from New York. Ben writes about Tenet. He says he's also the CIA director. How much could he actually tell? Referring to Rod's comment that George Tenet should write a book. Most of the info he knows is classified. Well, Ben, that's a good point. I admit when I get good points from my conservative listeners, it is a good point. I don't think he could tell all. And but part of the point I want to make in the next 15 minutes or so is that the use of classified information, precisely because it's classified, allows politicians to have even more leeway and manipulating the truth. You're right. He couldn't tell all. In fact, I got to tell you, I was offered a security clearance when I worked in Congress. And I was close to getting one. And right before I was to get one, I turned it down. I stopped the process because I didn't want anyone to argue that when I later went on the air giving the inside scoop that I was giving, you know, classified information. If I had a security clearance, I wouldn't be surprised if John Ashcroft had already been after me arguing that what I knew was because of my security clearance. So I rejected one precisely so I could tell the truth on the radio to you folks. But I think Ben's right. I think it would be very difficult for Tenet to argue to tell all because he's got a security clearance. And in fact, it's this use of declassified information, as we're going to hear in a bit, that really led to some of the most egregious intelligence failures. And I'll explain how that worked in Iraq in just a bit. I do also though want to read a email from Jeremy in Kansas, another of my regular conservative listeners. Jeremy writes, Mark, you ought to write a book just like the caller suggested. Man, I think it would be great. You might even top Hillary on the fiction chart. Thanks for having a show. It gives me something to chuckle about at work while I listen and disagree with you. Well, Jeremy, I appreciate your disagreement. I know you call what I say fiction, but I'll have you note that everything I say today I can back up. I've tried to give my sources. In fact, I'll try to give my sources even more as I go along and move on to the problems in Iraq. And let's move on to that. After September 11th, the CIA issued its annual report on worldwide threats. And in that report, there was virtually nothing mentioned about Iraq. It also rejected any connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. So, again, I think it shows that George Tenet, when left alone, can do honest reports. That made the Pentagon neoconservatives mad. Douglas Feith, the deputy undersecretary at the Defense Department, got upset. And so he asked the CIA to give him all the data. They'd already analyzed it. They'd issued the report. He wanted the raw data. And he analyzed it. And then Dick Cheney, vice president of the United States, in mid-2002, visited CIA headquarters at Langley Air Force Base. It visited them 10 times to talk with lower-level officials to get them. Again, they'd already analyzed the information. They'd already said no connection between Iraq and Saddam Hussein. They already said Iraq did not pose a danger to the United States. As former analyst Pat Eddington, so here's your source, Jeremy. It's not fiction. Former analyst Pat Eddington worked at the CIA for 8 years, was quoted as saying, quote, "I will tell you that in my time there, I never saw anything in the way of the kind of radical pressure that clearly existed in 2001 and 2002 and on into 2003. So Pat Eddington worked there from 95 to 2003, and in all his time, he never saw the kind of radical pressure that Vice President Cheney and Defense Department officials were putting on the CIA to get the intelligence right. You see, some believe that you should develop the intelligence based on intelligence. You should base it on objective evidence of what's there and what's not there, present the facts to policymakers, and let them make policy, not the Bush administration. They made the policy first and then worked on changing the intelligence to reflect the policy that they already wanted. In fact, in 2002, Tenet confided to a friend that he was feeling isolated, that he was worried about pressure from the neoconservatives. The friend told the New Republic that Tenet has felt that they, the neoconservatives, were pushing an agenda and wanted intelligence to agree with the agenda, and Tenet was thinking about quitting the CIA. Okay? Now, then we have Florida Senator Bob Graham, and I've mentioned this on the air. In fact, I mentioned it a year ago. My very first show, my second show, I talked at length about this way back a year ago. And I'm about to have my one-year anniversary on the air, June 22nd. I don't know what I'll do to celebrate, but I should do something. But anyway, I mentioned way back in my very first show what was going on with Florida Senator Bob Graham. Graham asked Tenet to tell him everything the CIA knew about Iraq, about weapons of mass destruction, about its ties to al-Qaeda, about its threats to the United States. And Tenet complied. Now, Graham was on the Intelligence Committee. He ran the Senate. He was the lead Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He had a right to know. And so Tenet gave him a classified 25-page paper that has still not been declassified. And according to Graham and according to his staff, it was a reasonable document. It was candid. It was balanced. It showed what the CIA believed to be the threat from Iraq. And it showed it to be relatively low. And indeed, it was completely, completely different from what Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of them were saying. So Graham and also Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, said to Tenet, let's make this a national intelligence estimate. Let's bring it to the gold standard, if you will, of CIA documents. Let's tell everyone what you just told us. So in mid-September 2002, Tenet delivered another classified document. But now that he knew that Graham and Durbin were going to share it among wider colleagues, it took, as one official, several officials actually said, according to this New Republic article, said that it took the most aggressive view of all available information. According to one source, it highlighted, quote, extensive Iraqi chem bio programs and nuclear programs, links to terrorism, and detailed every known or faintly rumored contact between Saddam's regime and bin Laden. According to another CIA official who read the document, quote, they put everything that they found for the last 12 years and put it all into one document. It was a joke. It had 800 disclaimers in it. It basically said nothing, but they put it together anyway, unquote. And by the way, when this document came out, I reported on it a year ago. I'm very proud of that. If you want the archive, it's actually some of these old archives have been removed. You can email me and I'll send you the archive because I did report on this a year ago, long before a lot of other people did. Anyway, Graham and Durbin, they were stunned, right? I mean, they didn't expect this total reversal in it. And so they said, you know what? Let's give an NIE, a National Intelligence Estimate. Let's run it through the gold standard. The White House didn't want it. They said, no, we don't want NIE. The White House knew that the CIA information was that Iraq did not have clear weapons of mass destruction, that they did not have a slam dunk, as was later reported by Woodward that Tenet said to Bush. And they didn't want an NIE, and Tenet was stuck. The White House says, no, don't give us the National Intelligence Estimate, this gold standard that can be given to everybody in Congress. You have these senators on the Intelligence Committee demanding it, and they were stuck. So how was Tenet to get out of it? He could resign. He could tell the truth, but probably get fired by the Bush administration. Remember, people who tell the truth in the Bush administration get fired. Look at Aaron Shinseki, General Shinseki, that talked about all those extra troops that we needed. Look at Paul O'Neill, for that matter, former Treasury Secretary. So he sent to the same guy that had done the damage before in the Clinton administration, Admiral Walpole. And Walpole did the same thing he did. He did in 3 weeks. He prepared an NIE in September 2002, just before the elections. He did it in 3 weeks. And this is usually a process that takes months. He did it in 3 weeks. And basically, he pretended there was a consensus that Iraq had all this dangerous stuff. He took all the information that said Iraq was dangerous and had weapons of mass destruction, he put it in, and everything else he put in footnotes that were classified. So it's all in the footnotes. 800 footnotes saying, you know, in the main paper it would say, well, Mohammed Atta of Al-Qaeda met with an Iraqi intelligence officer. And in the footnote, it would say, and that, by the way, information was given to us by the Czech government. The Czech government now says that information is no longer true. It was based on one guy who claimed to have saw him from a picture, now recants his testimony. And by the way, the FBI shows that Mohammed Atta was actually in Florida at the time renting a car. So in other words, we knew it was false. But that was all in the footnotes. Didn't put it in the main NIE. And this is the NIE, the National Intelligence Estimate. This is the same thing that Bush is now, well, of course I went to war. It was all in the National Intelligence Estimate. Have you heard it? This National Intelligence Estimate, again, was a reworking of the truth that Tenet gave to Graham and Durbin. But this NIE said Iraq was reconstituting its nuclear weapons programs. Now, this determination, Iraq was doing stuff with nuclear weapons, had been rejected by the CIA, had been rejected by the State Department's intelligence agency, had been rejected by the Department of Energy and the Department of Defense. And they also rejected the idea that Saddam Hussein was trying to get weapons from Niger. In fact, analysts would laugh at that because they knew it was ridiculous. It was so easy to prove wrong that, as later was found out, you could go on the Internet and prove that the contract signed between Saddam Hussein and the government in Niger was a forgery. It was easy to prove because the president at the time wasn't the president of Niger. Oops. If that forgery was that bad, that's why the UN inspectors were able to prove it was a forgery right from the top. That was Mohammed El-Baradei, who was condemned by Cheney for doing that. So they knew it was false, and in fact, but Tenet still allowed it in a speech that Bush gave in October 2002. Wait, I'm going to take this back. I want to get my facts right here. No, in October 2002, Bush wanted to say the Niger statement in his speech, and Tenet refused to allow it in the speech. But then in January 2003, Bush gave this same information in the State of the Union speech. He gave that lie on the British believe something that we knew wasn't true. In other words, that Saddam Hussein had tried to get nuclear weapons out of Niger. Now, what happened? Who let all this go? Who let us know the truth? Ambassador Joe Wilson, the guy who went down to Niger to see if any of this was true, found out it was false, reported back to Vice President Cheney, who had sent him down there. And then when Cheney lied and ignored everything Wilson said, Wilson went public. And in return, we now know what Bush did. Bush outed his wife, Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, as a CIA agent. And just this week, in fact, George Bush had to hire his own personal lawyer because of the criminal investigation into why we were leaking, why the White House was leaking the name of a CIA agent just to try to shut up Joe Wilson. Let me be clear here. When you tell who a CIA agent is, that's treason, folks. That's treason. Now, you know, not since Benedict Arnold have we had this kind of treason, and George Bush needs a personal lawyer. Did he know? But again, it all comes back to the fact that Tenet was trying to please the president and just trying to hide the truth here. But remember what happened when that happened. When George Bush gave that lie in the State of the Union speech, immediately Condoleezza Rice blamed George Tenet. They said, well, we never would have said this if the CIA hadn't approved it, despite the fact that Tenet had disapproved it 2 months earlier in October speech. But Tenet saved the paper, right? He had two memos showing that he had said, take this out of the speech, and that the White House had insisted that it go back in. So Tenet, again, I think it's clear, case after case after case, he was telling the president what he wanted to hear. He told, don't bring me no bad news, Cheney, exactly what Cheney wanted to hear. And it's come up again and again. Look at what's happened with Ahmed Chalabi, right? Here we have a guy who was in the presidential box in the State of the Union. George Bush spent $33 million on this guy. $33 million. He was paid $340,000 a month of our tax money. He was flown into Baghdad. And now we know that he was an Iranian secret agent. He actually told the Iranians that we broke their code. So, interestingly, Tenet didn't trust Chalabi. Mentioned some things like his embezzlement in Jordan. Mentioned some things that Chalabi had done that couldn't be trusted. But when George Bush turned around and said to the CIA, you give me information that shows Chalabi can be trusted, you know, George Tenet complied. So I think his better instincts were there. But I think that any official who's willing to lie to help their boss needs to go. And I think his last lie is his lie that he resigned for personal reasons. I think it's pretty clear that he resigned because of his policy failures. Let me do, though, before we just say goodbye to George Tenet, and I devoted my entire show to him, I wanted to say something to praise him. There's one thing he did really good. He did very much keep intelligence on Libya. He watched Libya very carefully. And, in fact, it's largely due to his watching Libya that Libya turned around and decided to give up its weapons of mass destruction. Now, Bush will tell you it's because of Iraq. Bush will tell you Libya got so scared from Iraq that's why Libya backed down. George Tenet has a different story to tell. His story is that they watched Libya so closely that they could find out exactly when they were getting nuclear shipments. And, in fact, they stopped one of those shipments in mid-break. And they caught Libya red-handed, if you will, and that's when Libya turned it around. So Tenet's done some good things. The heart of Tenet's problem is that he did what I guess everyone in the administration understands they have to do. He decided to be loyal to the president, even to the extent of being disloyal to his country. And I can only hope that we have someone in the CIA to replace him who's more loyal to the United States of America than they are to George Bush. Because it's too important. It's too important. You've got to get it right. Let me see if there are any other comments that I have time to read. Let's see here. I got a comment from Stephen. Writes, Mark, your show is awesome. You're the most fair voice I've heard on radio. Wow, thank you. I'm not big on talk radio, but you're an exception, even among liberals. Wow, keep up the great work, and I wish you the best of luck. Expand your listenership. Well, that was very nice. Another comment from Rod, who writes in New York, I still believe Tenet can write a timely, tell-almost-all book. It can be attuned to corroboration to his colleagues in the Bush and Clinton administrations. Bush is putting his arm around Tenet just like he did General Boykin, Ken Lay, and Senator Santorum. Let that arm be a holding place. The stench from these guys has to have rubbed off in a substantial way. Great show. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your comments. I hope you'll listen in this Sunday. Bill Clinton has just turned in a wonderful book called My Life. No, I haven't read it yet, but it's just being published. Hey, it's 950 pages. I got to do a show. I don't have time to read it all. But he gave a really terrific speech. And one of the things that we like to do here on the Inside Scoop is not just bring you my voice, and I know you've heard mostly my voice today, but also the voice of some really terrific Democratic leaders. And, of course, the best is our former president, Bill Clinton. You know, when he spoke, when I heard him speak, and you're going to hear a lot of his speech this Sunday if you'll tune in, 7 Eastern Time, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, and you hear what Bill Clinton has to say, what it reminded me is that here we had a president that used to give America hope. He's intellectual, he's smart, he's engaging, he knows American history, and he knows American soul and heart and values. And it just reminded me of how America once was and how America can be again. So I hope you'll tune in Sunday, kind of an homage to my favorite president in my lifetime, Bill Clinton. Tune in this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, it's Mark Levine signing off.